Special thanks to Julie Crosby, Miriam Barnard, Brendan Allen, Hugh Gran, and all those who helped us along the way.
Tune in on August 31st at 8 p.m. to celebrate the queer programmers and the queer community of KBOO as part of our 50th anniversary. Emma Lugo of Transpositive will host this special on-air program. You can join us that night at the Queer Community Open House here at KBOO at 20 Southeast Avenue from 7 to 10 p.m. on August 31st. More information about the Queer Community Open House and anniversary programming is available at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor the 13th annual Dancing in the Square American Indian Day Celebration Powwow on Friday, September 7th from noon to 7 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square in Portland. American Indian Day is a traditional showcase and celebration of American Indian and Alaskan Native cultures and community, which raises awareness concerning the challenges that Native American people face in this country. This event features vendors, educational booths, food, entertainment, and more. Again, that's Dancing in the Square American Indian Day Celebration Powwow on Friday, September 7th from noon to 7 p.m. at Pioneer Courthouse Square, 700 Southwest 5th Avenue in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
This is KBOO Portland. Coming up this morning on KBOO at 8 on Positively Revolting, Teresa speaks with Andrea Williams of CASA, Oregon's immigrant rights organization. At 9, Rising Up with Sonali looks at the growth of the Democratic Socialists of America and a new documentary, American Socialists, The Life and Times of Eugene Victor Debs. At 10, Valley View visits with the director of the Corvallis-Benton County Public Library and looks at new ways they're connecting people and information. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein, and 11, it's Mr. Jones' Neighborhood, looking back on the history of the Fire Sign Theater and the Mark Time Awards. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Oregon Symphony, located at 909 Southwest Washington Street in downtown Portland, presenting Mexican-American singer-songwriter Lila Downs on Monday, October 22nd at 7:30 p.m. Tickets and more information are available by phone at 503-228-1353 or online at orsymphony.org. All of our KBOO programs are made possible by member support. If you'd like to become a member, go to kboo.fm and click on Donate.
What would you have instead?
This is it.
Comes a time when every second, every day, when every action.
Good morning. You're listening to Positively Revolting. It's 8:03 Pacific time. I'm Teresa Mitchell. I'm in for Ani Haynes and Lynn Mullick, both of whom will be back next week. And Ani's a little under the weather, so I've come in and I'm going to try to present Ani's information. This morning, Andrea Williams is joining me in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning.
Andrea is Executive Director of CALSA, Oregon's Immigrant Rights Coalition. So thank you so much for joining us on KBOO this morning. Andrea, you were on Positively Revolting back in March, and towards the end of your conversation with Ani, you talked about an anti-immigrant ballot initiative that was in the signature gathering stage at that time. The initiative gathered the required amount of signatures and is now known as Ballot Measure 105, a.k.a. the Repeal State Sanctuary Law Initiative. It will be put to Oregon voters on the November 6th election. So can you talk about what this ballot measure actually does?
Well, thanks for having me. Again, I'm Andrea Williams with CAUSA. I'm also the chair of the No on Measure 105 campaign. And Ballot Measure 105 is an attempt to throw out Oregon's 31-year-old sanctuary law that has served Oregon well for more than three decades, originally passed by Republicans and Democrats almost unanimously in order to address a very important issue, unfair racial profiling. And so ballot measure 105 is an attempt to throw that out. And we have a growing coalition of over 300 law enforcement leaders, civil rights groups, and businesses that are all coming together because we know that protecting Oregon's 31-year-old sanctuary law is really critical for our state to ensure that every Oregonian's civil rights are protected.
I see that law in terms of the general backlash and white panic headed by President Trump. I see that 16 sheriffs sent a letter in support of the measure. Ani writes they are from very small areas and together represent less than 20% of the state. But what message does this send that they are taking a stance to support what some people call an okay for racial profiling?
Well, I would just say that many law enforcement leaders disagree and have been part of the No on 105 campaign since its beginning. Sheriffs from our state's most populous counties, like Washington County and Multnomah County, which also have some of our largest immigrant communities in the state, and the district attorney from the largest rural county in the state, Deschutes County, have all come on the No on 105 campaign because they know that trust is the foundation of good policing, and that when immigrant families are too afraid to report a crime to the police because they've been victimized or they have been a witness to a crime and could provide important information to police because they are fearful that doing so will separate them from their children, at the end of the day, that really affects all Oregonians. And so, you know, local police have worked really hard to gain the trust of immigrant communities. And so they understand that if local law enforcement plays the role of federal immigration, it's really going to damage their relationship with the immigrant community. I also would like to note that numerous studies have shown that there's no meaningful link between immigration and crime. And further independent studies have shown that undocumented immigrants commit crimes at lower rates than U.S. citizens. And so the idea of the criminal immigrant is misleading and false. Sheriff Bergen, in his letter with the 15 other sheriffs, made multiple misleading and inaccurate statements about our immigrant community.
Such as?
The whole trope that President Trump brings out of immigrants being violent criminals, rapists, murderers.
And he brings that. That's very consistent, I've noticed. Every time the topic comes up, he and his cronies come up with this idea, a ridiculous idea. It goes without saying, I suppose, that it's disproven utterly by anyone who's kept statistics. That immigrants are more proportionately more violent than the general population, but it seems to be a winning strategy for, you know, going back to the idea of white backlash and white panic, which is basically Trump's brand.
Yeah, and we can't let fear-mongering and scare tactics of our opponents win the day here in Oregon. Measure 105 is really our chance as a state to say no to Trump's anti-immigrant policies and to ensure that our local law enforcement don't become an arm of Trump's deportation force, which is why we're urging all Oregonians to vote no on 105.
There's a greater price to pay for allowing this sort of fascistic and racially targeted thing to go on, and that's the increase in the power and intimidation of the police state generally. I've been tracking this is peripheral to the issue. This is not CALSA's issue, but I've been tracking a Abolish ICE protester who was taken in 3 weeks ago, has been in jail for 3 weeks, basically defended himself against someone who was attacking him at the demonstration. Someone threw hot coffee on him. He was holding a flagpole, and the other person's face got scratched, needed stitches. And so you would think in an altercation like that that perhaps both parties would be taken in, or the party who initiated the altercation would be taken in. But instead, in what is clearly to me an act of anti-dissent intimidation, William Pierce, that's P-I-E-R-C-E, was held just until the last day or so on $500,000 bail, and was also held effectively incommunicado within the jail. There's obviously some judicially enforced intimidation going on, and I hope that it shocks you to hear it. I hope that it shocks you to understand that this sort of, redolence of Pinochet is already starting to happen in the United States. And I would say that ICE enforcement and the racism that Trump has been promoting is very much a part of that. It's part of the energy of it. And so I'm pleased to have Andrea Williams in the studio right now to talk about Measure 105. I've seen that there are a lot of people who support keeping the sanctuary law, who are opposed to Measure 105, as diverse as Nike Corporation. And I think a bank was in there, and the AFL-CIO. Can you talk about that?
Yeah, so from the very first day that we kicked off this campaign in July, there has been tremendous volunteer energy. In fact, we were just packing the rooms. We didn't have enough room in the AFL-CIO basement to hold all of our volunteers. We had our kickoff had over 500 volunteers in 10 different cities from across the state, from Astoria to Bend to Medford to Portland and Salem. And we're all coming together because we know that this is a really important basic civil rights protection for everyone. And that's why we have a large coalition of Asian Pacific Islanders, Latinos, white allies, African American organizations, labor unions, faith leaders, you name it. And every day it continues to grow. We invite organizations to join us. The campaign's website is orunited.org. There's lots of opportunities to get involved, and we're going to need as much people power as possible to talk to voters by phone banking, by canvassing, to tell them to please vote no if you believe in fairness and if you believe in looking out for your neighbors and if you believe in people's basic civil rights. The idea that we should not be judging people based solely off the color of their skin or their perceived immigration status, if you believe in that, you should vote no on 105. And so we need a volunteer squad to join us, and we invite everyone to be part of this campaign to protect our sanctuary law.
It really is. There's no beating around the bush. This really is about race. Continuing with some text that I got from Ani, and which she was hoping to present herself, the anti-immigrant bigotry is really underscoring the racism that it's trying to hide. White people with an accent from Europe are not being targeted with anti-immigrant hate speech, while people who appear to be Mexican or from Central or South America, or people who are identified as Muslim or Sikh, have been consistently targeted. This is also playing out in the denial of U.S. passports. This is something that shocks me, to people born in the U.S. who have Latino names and whose births were attended by a midwife. In some cases, a U.S. citizen was traveling in Mexico and found out that their passports have been revoked. And can you comment on that?
Well, I think it's pure racial profiling. And make no mistake that Measure 105 in Oregon is about racial profiling. And I want to remind people why Oregonians passed this law in 1987 in the first place. Countless stories were coming forward in Oregon, including a man named Delmiro Trevino, who was having lunch with his buddies at a restaurant in Independence, Oregon, when police singled them out, grabbed Delmiro, and demanded that he show his papers, that he prove he was a U.S. citizen, based solely on how he looked, on the color of his skin. And it wasn't released until a longtime neighbor of his came up and said, hey, I can vouch for him. He's a longtime resident and U.S. citizen here in Independence, Oregon. It shouldn't be that way. And that he was not alone in that experience. And that experience eventually led to a class action lawsuit, which led to the passage of our sanctuary law. And so I think it's important for us to remember that this was passed for very real reasons. It was passed to address unfair racial profiling in our state. And if the law goes away, it could lead to even more racial profiling than what already happens today.
And this sort of fascism tends to spread. I heard a rumor this morning, and I pass it along because it was from a very reliable source, that police are showing up at people's doors who have been involved in Occupy ICE, who have been protesting against the abduction of children and the separation of families in the United States, in an apparent attempt to intimidate dissent. This is how it starts. This is how it spreads. I do intend to alarm you. Allowing part of the population to be targeted and set up as the enemy is exactly how fascist terror starts and how it keeps rolling. And we've seen this in the 20th century, and we know how it ended with bombs and with genocide. We're speeding along that path right now, and so I invite your calls. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 8:15 Pacific time. I'm Teresa Mitchell. I'm here with Andrea Williams, and we were talking about Measure 105. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Now, Andrea, since you were last on the show, a lot has happened to bring attention to the horror that many immigrants and asylum seekers face when coming to the U.S., especially around family separation policies. There's a rush to dehumanize people who are abducted by ICE, detained with deportation being ready. Ani writes she's thinking of the case earlier this month when ICE agents detained Joel Arona Lara while he and his pregnant wife stopped for gas. His wife, Maria del Carmen Venegas, had then to drive herself to the hospital to deliver her baby by a scheduled C-section. The couple has lived in the U.S. for more than 10 years and has five children. After the arrest of Arona Lara, his very upset wife went into the gas station convenience store and was caught on video. The video went viral on the internet and provoked immediate outrage at the cruelty of this arrest. But a day later, ICE lashed back, claiming that Arona Lara had an outstanding warrant. And to make a long story short, they were lying about that. They made it up. The warrant supposedly for murder. This is the sort of fast and loose playing with the media and the automatic and sloppy defense of fascistic policies that we're starting to see. Would you like to comment on that?
Well, now imagine, okay, so ICE is conducting that type of behavior, unconstitutional type of behavior. Imagine now if they also had the help of all of our local police, sheriffs, police across the state in doing their dirty work. That's what taking away our sanctuary law would do. Our sanctuary law provides clear guidelines for local police on how to interact with federal immigration. It puts a limit on the use of their local resources, equipment, and personnel when somebody's only violation of the law is that they're here undocumented. So taking away this law by voting yes on Measure 105 would essentially open the door for our local police to become an arm of Trump's deportation force. And we've already seen stories like these and how dangerous and how inhumane and how unconstitutional it can be.
And I suppose it could be dangerous when you consider just how enthusiastic the local law enforcement was when Patriot Prayer and their associated fascists came into town. And when you consider that one of the trainers on the Portland Police Force is a Mr. Kruger who likes to wear a Nazi uniform and present plaques to dead Nazis, caller has asked for a clear explanation of what Measure 105 actually does. So I'll ask you to repeat that then, Andrea.
Measure 105 seeks to eliminate Oregon's 31-year-old sanctuary law. A vote yes would repeal the law. A vote no would maintain the law. Again, the law in question provides limits for local law enforcement's use of personnel, equipment, and resources to enforce federal immigration law when someone's only violation is that they're here undocumented. So there are lots of exceptions to that law. When somebody has committed a crime, local police can and do work with federal immigration in order to arrest and detain that individual when they have committed a crime, if they're an immigrant. What this does not allow for is local police to walk around and question people based on their perceived immigration status and demand to see their U.S. citizenship papers. It does not allow for that. It basically says if you're here undocumented and you're otherwise law-abiding, we're not going to focus our local police resources on arresting and detaining that individual for the federal immigration agents.
The way I think of it when you're explaining it is I was thinking of Kruger's Nazi uniform boots. If measure 105 passes, boot comes down. Measure 105 is defeated, boot stays up. And the first caller we have is Lou. The number to call, 503-231-8187. 503-231-8187. And hi, Lou, you're on the air.
Good morning. Glad to see Andrea on your program. I had a couple thoughts and a question. In terms of national attacks on immigrants, it seems like Trump, as president, along with a couple Republican senators from the South, have said that Ted Wheeler, our mayor, has been far too friendly and pro-immigrant and far too non-supportive of the ICE police during the demonstration, which lots of organizers at Portland State disagree, of course, with those three Republicans. I was curious if Andrea and her coalition has touched with or may already be working with the student body president at Portland State, Luis Valderas Belgrana, who's a dreamer and a student body president.
I would have to ask our campaign team because all of us touch different parts of the work, but we would love to work with him if we are not already working with him.
Sure. We have a event coming up at PSU on the 20th, which is a Saturday. So we're hoping Luis will be able to talk at that. The other, did you have something else you wanted to say, Andrea?
Oh, no, I was just saying we love every opportunity to talk about this issue and encourage people to reach out with us at info@orunited.org.
Sure. Yeah, I wrote down that address. We tried to put in a thing at a Tribune. One of the chief petitioners for M105 is Richard LaMountain. I'm not sure about that, but he had an article in the Tribune criticizing Luis, who had a pro-immigration article. And then we sent something into Tribune, but they wouldn't print it. But the Observer, which is a smaller paper, did print it. My other question is, I've been reading about, as we have at PSU, about the different sides with Phil Knight, Nike, and Newt Bueller. Apparently Nike, I think you even mentioned, as a corporation, supports the No on Five. But I've also read that Newt Bueller, who's running against Kate Brown for governor, the incumbent, the Democrat, Newt Bueller totally supports 105. And in addition, it looks like Phil Knight, I don't know if he's the only billionaire in Oregon, donated $500,000, according to what I'm reading, to Bueller's campaign. So I don't know if you want to comment on that particular jigsaw, or that was basically my question, though. Thanks for being on the program. Bye.
Goodbye.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, so we're lucky to have the support of large businesses to small businesses, everywhere from Por Que No Taqueria on Hawthorne to Nike, which I understand it has its own governmental relations team and is a separate entity from Phil Knight. And, you know, I think it's unfortunate that that this has become a partisan issue now that the Republican candidate running for governor has come out in support of throwing out our sanctuary law. Again, this is not a partisan issue. This is a very practical issue and something that Republicans and Democrats came together on almost unanimously, I would note, in 1987 because it was about the use of our local resources and making sure that those are focused on our local communities and not doing the job of the federal government. And it was also about ensuring that all Oregonian civil rights are protected. And at the end of the day, that's not a Republican or Democrat issue. That's an Oregon issue.
Well, that makes sense to me. Number to call is 503-231-8187. It's 823. You're listening to KBOO. The show is called Positively Revolting. And we are trying to positively revolt here. I'm Teresa Mitchell. I'm here with Andrea Williams, and I'm in for Ani and Lynn, who will be back next week. I believe that Nanette is on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for discussing the topic today and work both of you are doing to bring this out to the larger public. I think it's absolutely horrific, the attacks that have been waged upon people in this country. What we need to realize is that we're all human beings. We all need clean air, fresh, you know. We need clean air, clean water, unadulterated food. We need love. We need companionship. That's what we need to survive on this planet. Basically, what is happening, these attacks on immigrants and folks, can you think an asylum is undermining our safety in this country.
Your reception has cut out a little bit. Could you restate that comment?
What part about us being human beings? We all need fresh air, love, and companionship.
No, that part got through. More specifically on 105.
Okay, well, I am definitely against 105. I'm sorry, I hear a lot of...
We got that part. All right, then.
Oh, okay, I'll let you go.
Okay, thank you very much for calling in. Number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. Returning to Ani's notes, last spring you talked with Ani about a court split, Supreme Court decision. That decision ruled that immigrants can be held by U.S. immigration officials indefinitely without receiving bond hearings, even if they have permanent legal status or are seeking asylum. In April, the ACLU filed a New York court asking to stop indefinite detentions. Can you give us an update? Are there asylum seekers or immigrants that have been held in indefinite detention?
Well, actually, there's a case here in Oregon, and I'm sure many of the listeners have heard about Sheridan, Oregon, where over 120 asylum seekers are still being detained at a federal prison in our backyard. Luckily, thanks to the Innovation Law Lab, ACLU, and other immigration lawyers who have come together to represent these individuals, five of those asylum seekers were actually let out of the federal prison and allowed their freedom and allowed to pursue asylum here in Oregon. It's interesting because when people think of people in detention centers, they think of Latinos, they think of Mexican, Central American immigrants. In this case, the majority of those detained at our federal prison, they were originally on the border and then transferred to the federal prison in Sheridan, Oregon, were actually from India and from Nepal. And, you know, many of them had legitimate asylum claims, but they were being held indefinitely, and they were being denied access to lawyers, being denied access to their leaders of faith. And thanks to a lawsuit from Innovation Law Lab and ACLU, the federal prison was mandated to allow them access to lawyers. And then those lawyers were able to make successful cases that people do have cases, legitimate cases of asylum. So that's one piece of good news. However, you know, over 100 people continue to be detained there, and a group of faith leaders from the Interfaith Movement for Immigrant Justice have been conducting civil disobedience outside of the Portland ICE building, demanding that those people detained in Sheridan are let go. And I applaud them for that. And it's amazing to see the people coming out, the U.S. citizens, the immigrants, the allies coming together to say that this is unjust, and we demand that they be allowed their freedom and be allowed to run their case through our justice system to determine whether or not they have they can obtain asylum.
I agree. It has been encouraging to see how many people have been motivated, and good to hear that the protests are still going on. They're happening downtown. The Abolish ICE coalition is still there. The Abolish ICE group. And also happening down at 4310 Southwest McAdam, where G-Force, the privately owned, police and soldiery, the mercenaries, have a little dungeon which works for, allegedly just for transfer, although I believe people are held longer than they're supposed to be held. A prison down there on 4310 Southwest McAdam, just up the street from the old spaghetti factory. A great big... imposing edifice that goes back an entire long block. It's a big place, and several stories. It goes into the underground. It's a creepy place, and it's encouraging to me to think that ICE protesters actually shut it down at one point. And I think we're seeing the backlash for that right now, with cops going around trying to intimidate dissent. Intimidating dissent is a big, big part of imposing fascism. And so I want to encourage you, if you have been visited by police over your right to free speech and dissent and your right to gather to petition the government for redress of grievances, please be open about it. Please don't unlock your door. They don't have a right to come in there without a warrant. Please don't talk to them, but please do videotape them. And if you have the opportunity, if you have a service such as Facebook Live video or Periscope video, and if they are not sine wave jamming it, you can do that sort of thing live, and that sends a message right back to them. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. We've been talking about Measure 105. You're listening to KBOO Portland. It's 8:30. This is Positively Revolting Talk Radio, so you can call in right now if you like. I've been going through, as I said, some of the notes that actually Ani presented for this talk show. I didn't do this preparation, I just want to say. Ani did the work, and so I've just come in here and I've been reading her notes in order to do this interview, and I'm so glad that you were able to come in, Andrea Williams of CALSA, and talk about this issue. One of the things that she brought up is that the ACLU... Oh, we already talked about that issue. I'm sorry. Current information and updates about any actions against ICE deportation centers. We were just talking about that. She writes, when immigrants are arrested, they're held in ICE detention centers, prison-like, with terrible conditions, including moldy and maggot-ridden food. Detainees in the Tacoma ICE Detention Center have organized hunger strikes to bring attention to the terrible food and work conditions, in which they're paid $1 a day to essentially slave labor to provide essential services, cleaning up, for example, the detention center. Last week, she writes, we shared information that detainees are being held at the Tacoma Detention Center, and that they were taking part in solidarity action supporting the ongoing national prisoners strike that started on April 21st. Do you have any comments on that?
Well, I think it's amazing that despite being imprisoned, immigrants are continuing to fight back for their own freedom and for their own rights. And we've seen hunger strikes happen everywhere from Tacoma Detention Center to NorCor, which is actually a tri-county-owned jail in Oregon that has a contract with ICE and has several beds in the Dalles holding people. And one of the efforts that we've been a part of is ensuring that our local county jails do not have contracts with ICE. In fact, the Springfield County Jail recently ended their contract thanks to local activists speaking out and saying that they weren't going to stand for it. And there's a huge group called Gorge ICE Resistors in the Dalles that are working very hard to shut down NorCor as a place that has and holds immigrant detainees.
So we are talking about Measure 105, and we invite your calls, your comments, and questions. 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187, and Mike is on the air.
Oh, hey, hi.
Hi.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I've had Mexicans illegal as employees. I've known their family, and they're really good people, and I think with the unemployment rate the way it is now, we need more Mexicans. They're good people. And the other thing I have to say that I believe about the Trump administration, that the ghost of Hitler is now in the White House, and therefore America. That's about all I had. Thank you.
All right. Measure 105, once again, is coming up on the ballot. You get to vote on it. You may want to ask yourself if you... are currently registered in Oregon. It's pretty easy to actually check online to find out about that. Oregon Measure 105, the Repeal Sanctuary State Law Initiative. is on the ballot in Oregon as an initiated state statute on November 6th of this year. A reading from the Ballotpedia, a yes vote supports this ballot initiative to repeal the state's sanctuary state law that limits the cooperation of local law enforcement with federal brown people enforcement. Oh, I'm sorry, that was a slip of the tongue. With federal immigration enforcement, and a no vote opposes this ballot initiative, thereby keeping the state sanctuary law that limits the cooperation of local law enforcement with federal immigration enforcement. So it's the midterm elections coming up November 6th, and I think most people are aware that it's going to be an unusually fraught election for a number of reasons. There's an effort to drive back the Republican fascism. When I say that sort of thing, speaking for myself, I'm not. I don't want to get all excited about the Democrats, but that's basically that. That's how things are framed right now. The House of Representatives and the Senate could very well change after November 6th, but also, we have this sort of Trump-initiated, Trump-energy-initiated, actually, ballot measure, Measure 105, which attempts to take away some very reasonable restrictions on law enforcement in order, which have been in place for many years now. Is it, Andrea, more than 30 years?
Right. The law was passed in 1987. And I just want to remind people, too, that let's be crystal clear about who's behind Measure 105. The Southern Poverty Law Center actually designated the organizations behind Measure 105 as hate organizations.
What are those organizations?
Oregonians for Immigration Reform is a local Oregon-based anti-immigrant hate group as designated by the Southern Poverty Law Center. And their national branch, which is called FAIR, and they're a very well-known anti-immigrant organization, and they've funneled hundreds of thousands of dollars into our state in order to qualify this ballot measure in an effort to support Trump's anti-immigrant agenda. And so again, Measure 105 is our chance as Oregonians to say no to Trump's anti-immigrant agenda, to say no to the separation of children from their parents, to say no, our local law enforcement should not be an arm of Trump's deportation force.
And the number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. And Tim from Gorge Ice Resistance is on the line. Hi, Tim,
hey,
you're
Teresa.
On the line. Hi.
Thanks for taking the call. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, thanks for your good work.
Hey, yeah, we may have met at some function in Portland lately, or last year or so, but I just want to let people know that Gorge Ice Resistance, and we have another associated group, it's called the NorCor Community Resource Coalition, have been working pretty much daily for the last year and 3 months. We've been on the street in front of NorCor for 489 days consecutively. I just want to let people know that NorCor is working basically a public jail, acting as a private prison. They house anywhere from 30 to 40 and have capacity for up to 60 immigrants, most of which come from the Northwest Detention Center. They are incentivized because it makes their budget work. They get $80 a day.
Per prisoner?
Per prisoner. So our jail is run by four counties, Hood River, Wasco, Sherman, and Gilliam counties. Two of the sheriffs from Gilliam and Sherman County are signatories on the letter from the Oregon Sheriff's Association. We look at that, not only is it blatantly racist, but they are members who make decisions. The sheriff board sits on the regulatory body that operates the jail. So they have basically incentivized their constituents in Gilliam and Sherman County to basically make this profitable in such a way to basically rat out immigrants and basically hunt them down with a monetary incentive.
You know what that reminds me of is filling up Guantanamo when Afghanistan was first invaded. A great many, I think the majority of the people who were brought into Guantanamo were actually people who were just ratted out for a reward by their neighbors who had nothing to do with the Taliban resistance.
Well, that's basically what's happening here. When the sheriffs released their letter the other day, on their the official websites of the sheriff's department in Gilliam and Sherman County, the comment is rabid. People are basically saying, happy hunting, let's go hunting, we're going to hunt them down. We are absolutely horrified that this kind of response. These are very, very small population counties who have probably zero to none immigrants as far as population goes. They're the two smallest counties in the state of Oregon population-wise. So they've never had any kind of pushback. They've been operating the jail for 20 years. We are pushing to get a new administrator, which the old one from Alaska has some dubious past, and he is resigning. Just the other day, the sheriffs made a move to take over the jail, operating the jail without an administrator, but make it a sheriff's board. And so we oppose that as well.
And I would just say thank you for your awesome work with Gorge Ice Resisters. I think it's really important that your group and members of your group push back and email and call the sheriffs in those counties to say that as residents of those counties, you all disagree with them. I think it's important that they hear from people that live in their district to say, look, you may think that way, but the people that live in your community disagree.
That is actually happening at
great.
This moment.
That's awesome.
Hood River and Wasco County sheriffs did not sign on. Matt English, who is the sheriff in Hood River County, is also the state chair of the Oregon State Sheriff's Association. So that was an indication to me that he is not in support of this in Hood River County, and neither did Sheriff Lane McGill from Wasco County. Neither of them signed on. And I'm going to drop off here, but I just want to remind people about the 7-day march from Sheridan to Norcor, which will begin in Sheridan on September 30th. It will be a 7-day overland march to Norcor, and on October 6th, Saturday, in the Dalles, will be a statewide rally at the end of the March for Justice. So just want to get people to pay attention if they haven't seen it. The information should be out very shortly if it's not already. Anyway, keep up the good work, Andrea.
Thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Teresa.
You too. Thanks. And I think Tim brings up a really important point, which is that there's disagreement in the law enforcement community about the sanctuary law. And as I mentioned earlier, we have Sheriff Mike Reese, Sheriff Pat Garrett, district attorneys from across the state. We have former chiefs of police from Lane County to Washington County to Multnomah County that are all saying that the best way to keep our state safe is to have the trust of all communities who live here. And that means that we need to have limitations on our role as law enforcement leaders when it comes to federal immigration. And so I think it's just as important to note, while there were 16 sheriffs that signed on to repealing the law, the number of the 18 plus law enforcement leaders that have come forward publicly and have also said, actually, no, we don't agree with that, and we think Oregonians should vote no on 105.
No to racism, no to 105. Well, if I could speak to a group of people, which I can't actually do, although I can get close, maybe the closest you can get is on a radio broadcast, I would say, hey, rural Oregon, 1942. How can you let that stain fall on you again? Did you learn nothing? Next caller is Deanna. Number is 503-231-8187. Hi, Deanna.
Good morning. Good morning, Teresa. And thank you both for such an important and information-packed message this morning. And I did tune in a little late, and I wanted to know, had you already spoken about what, you know, any citizen can do in terms of canvassing about 105?
Yeah, thank you so much for asking. So we need as many volunteers as possible to do any number of things. We would love for volunteers to sign up on our website at orunited.org. We have got canvassing events, phone banking events. If you don't like phone banking, we're doing text banking, which is another effective way to reach voters. And we're also canvassing small businesses, asking them to post our No on 105 posters. And so we would love volunteers to come forward for any number of hours that you're able to contribute by signing up at orunited.org.
All right. Thank you for your call. It's 8:45 on the Pacific Coast of the New United States. You're listening to KBOO Portland, your community-supported free radio station, which you can support. We need your support at kboo.fm, kboo.fm, and click on the donate button. It's easy. It's quick. We like to give you little prizes for that, kboo.fm. And I'm Teresa Mitchell. This show is called Positively Revolting, and I am in on behalf of Ani Haynes and Lynn Mullick, who will be back next week. And I'm in the studio with Andrea Williams of CALISA, and we are talking about the No on 105, No on Racism campaign. The number to call, 503-231-8187, and I believe Jersey is next on the line.
Hey, thank you guys very much for all the work you do. I would like to also make a little dovetail to this whole proposal to check people's citizenship birth certificates of folks in the desert Southwest as it relates to the racism of this, of course, bad effort to round people up. And you're right to point out that 1942 date issue. And in case people didn't get that, that, of course, I think was when they started rounding up some other citizens. The one point I want to make out about that whole idea of taking people's citizenship away and questioning it, of course, being based on racism, but it's very selective, of course, about Spanish-speaking people. Many people don't know is that in the other end of the country, in the extreme northeast, and I mean the very extreme, northern Maine, northern New York, parts of northern Vermont, New Hampshire, there's a large contingent of folks of French-Canadian lineage, of some of which, as recently as, say, 50 years ago, the majority of towns didn't even speak English. And no one's going around checking their citizenship right now. So it is really the lead up to the next stage. So how many Polish people maybe live in Midwestern places that that are right next to, you know, a border of Canada? are they to be next? So yes, if you white folks out there who are going supporting basically coming down on folks with Spanish lineage, better watch their backs, because it could happen to you, and this is proof.
That's a good point. It's entirely arbitrary. Do you have comments on that, Andrea?
I mean, we're kind of in a battle for who we are as Americans. What does it mean to be a U.S. citizen if you can't even bank on having your U.S. birth certificate count to get your passport, as is happening to folks on the border right now? What does it mean to be a U.S. citizen? What rights do you get? And so I think our side is trying to win out on that hopeful, aspirational message that as Americans, we should be a place that is welcoming, that is about equality, and is about a diverse set of Americans. We believe diversity makes us stronger, and that America should remain a beacon of hope for people seeking a refuge from places across the globe. That's the America that we believe in, and that we're fighting for, and that we have to actively fight for every single day since the beginning of the United States, but certainly most especially now as the Trump administration has continued to be dead set on stripping away rights, not just from undocumented immigrants, but also from legal immigrants, and now from U.S. citizens with immigrant ancestry. And I would just like to say, like so many Oregonians, my family has immigrant roots too. I think so many of us can think back to our family's immigrant story. My great-grandparents came from the Philippines in order to be farm workers seeking a better life so that one day their children and grandchildren could someday have a better life than they did. And certainly their dreams came true when my grandmother watched me walk across that stage at my college graduation. And that's the story that I want for everyone in our state and in our country. And it's just becoming so much more difficult than it was in those days to live your life, to build a life for your family, and to contribute to this country. And it's just such a shame that right now we have a president in power that believes in the complete opposite. And so it's really up to us here in Oregon, here in the United States, to fight for that vision of our country that we believe in.
Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187. And Dennis is next on the air.
Thank you very much for taking my call, and I applaud your work. I just have a quick comment. I was disturbed by something that I heard a while back on the show about an organization called FAIR that is for 105. Am I correct? I don't know. I don't know. Could you please correct me? The reason I'm calling is that the letters FAIR, F-A-I-R, stand for an organization which is actually a very good organization. Isn't that correct?
We're not talking about fair accuracy in reporting. We're talking about a different FAIR, which is actually unfair, as is often the case with right-wing organizations.
Yeah,
but Andrea can tell you about that.
The thing is that people may be confused, and I'd want to set that straight.
And that confusion is very intentional, and you are correct. You did hear correctly. The name of the National Anti-Immigrant Organization is called FAIR. It's an acronym, F-A-I-R. I'm blanking on what the acronym is for, but it's intentionally misleading. Just like the local version of FAIR is called Oregonians for Immigration Reform, they have not advocated for immigration reform in the day of the life of that organization. They're all about deporting as many immigrants as possible and making life so hard in Oregon that people leave. So it's intentionally misleading. It's intentionally confusing. And to help clarify for people what these organizations are really about, the Southern Poverty Law Center has provided a fair bit of information and background on those organizations' ties to white supremacists, to people that believe in eugenics. And I encourage people to check out the Southern Poverty Law Center's research on these organizations to truly understand the depth of their connections to hate-based ideology.
Thank you. North Philly is next. The number to call, 503-231-8187. And hello, Phil, you're next.
It's North Philly. I'm a lady. It's North Philly. It's where I'm from.
All right.
This is the guy who called up just a while ago, and he was talking about Hitler fascism coming over here. I noticed the white friends are always going over to Hitler when they want to talk bad. We need to use the homegrown bad people, like George Wallace. Talk about him and the way he ran his country. Black people suffered enough in this country under George Wallace and people like him. And as far as people not speaking English, we have the Amish in Lancaster County still speaking German, referred to non-German speaking people as the English. And they are considered the backbone of this country, people who still have not assimilated to this day, and they keep picking on the Spanish-speaking people. So they need to fix that and stop talking about that. And white folks need to talk to white folks about the racism situation, because black people have enough stuff on their plate. It would be really nice if the white friends would speak up more, like you are here on KBOO, and I support you very much. And that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you very much for that call. The number to call, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. I'm Teresa Mitchell. This is Positively Revolting. I'm in here with Andrea Williams, and we have been talking about the No on 105 campaign, No on Racism. And these have been rather interesting calls. It has made me reflect generally on whiteness, generally whiteness to over summarize is a system of exclusion, vaguely based on cultural and skin color characteristics. It's not actually a race, and then that leads me to say that the idea of race itself is fraudulent, and so it's nonetheless effective. What we are seeing here with the attempt to repeal Oregon's protections, the 105 campaign, what we're seeing is part of the white backlash, the attempt to reach back to a mythical white utopia, the attempt to grab white rule, which works out to minority or apartheid rule in the United States. And it's been interesting to see the dynamic. It's been interesting to see the struggle and the panic involved in white people as they realize that people like me realize that our hegemony must end because our numbers have dwindled. And the panic when we realize that all our talk about democracy is false when it comes to actually allowing people to participate on an equal basis as if white. This is not something that people are willing to do, that white people are willing to do, because of the exclusivity of whiteness aggregates privileges and works out to economic advantage. I could go into the many ways that that is true. But the panic basically goes down to a lack of creativity, a lack of trust, a fear, the thought that losing this whiteness will be terrible and the retributive justice that has been visited on people of color will be turned on white people. And I think that to deal with that fear, the first thing that has to be done is to recognize that you have the fear and that's what you're actually thinking. Number to call with your comments and questions, 503-231-8187, 503-231-8187. We're talking about Measure 105, which is coming up in November. And it is, as I was saying, something that would greatly, aside from the election of Trump, would greatly encourage elements, and I would say very strong and maybe majority elements of local law enforcement to go wild in their enforcement of immigration rules against brown people. And the excesses that we are seeing already would be greatly exaggerated were this Measure 105 to pass. So we've come up to the top of the hour, and I would like to allow Andrea Williams of CALSA to have the last comments.
Well, thank you so much again for having me and for the callers who have made very great comments and who are doing great work on the ground themselves. And for those that are just listening in, we are, as a state, fighting for who we are. Are we going to be a state that welcomes all and that treats everyone with respect? Or are we going to be a state that allows our law enforcement to judge people solely based off the color of their skin and question their status as a U.S. citizen? And I think that as Oregonians, we believe in fairness. We believe in looking out for each other. And at the end of the day, I believe we're going to come together and vote no on 105. And again, we would love to have volunteers. This campaign is grassroots. It's run by the passion and the time given by volunteers. Please visit us at orunited.org. That is the No on 105 campaign.
You've been listening to Positively Revolting on KBOO Portland. Hope that you will stay tuned for more. And I would like to thank Ray Bodwell for engineering, Derek Crooks for morning public affairs direction. And we'll be seeing you next week.
Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of PDX Short Docs on Sunday, September 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater in Portland. PDX Short Docs will show multiple short documentaries by local filmmakers, followed by an audience Q&A. There will be films about the Me Too movement, the Palindrome World Championship, an urban farm, the Oregon coast, and much more. Again, that's PDX Short Docs on Sunday, September 2nd at 7 p.m. at the Mission Theater. 1624 Northwest Gleason Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of EFFECT on Thursday and Friday, September 6th and 7th at the University of Oregon White Stag Block in Portland. EFFECT is a two-day conference that examines the work, culture, and design of social change. This grassroots event featuring stories from multiple marginalized activists, creators, and technologists working towards social change. Again, that's AFFECT on Thursday and Friday, September 6th and 7th at the University of Oregon, White Stag Block, 70 Northwest Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community.